Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Hello, America. Good day to our friends around the world. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Mark Babbitt's here, too. Mark is one of the newer members of our Brain Trust, the CEO and the founder of U-Turn, the co-author of A World Gone Social, How Companies Must Adapt to Survive. Where have you heard that before, my friends? Mark Babbitt, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. You know, and congratulations again on the book. I know it's doing well. A World Gone Social, How Companies Must Adapt to Survive, co-authored by Ted Koyne. Did I say his name right?
Perfectly.
All right. So, okay, Mark, when I first started contemplating social media as a strategy, as a body of work, as a whole universe, so to speak. We were using it before we knew what to call it, right? 10 or more years ago. But probably, I'm going to say about 6 or 7 years ago, we started really calling it social media, which I never liked that term for business. I like it for individuals, but I don't like the term for business because it doesn't say what it really is, which is developing customer communities. But even in those days, even while I was telling people to be skeptical of it, meaning don't think that it's going to save your business this week or this month, maybe not even this year, I was also telling them that one thing I believed, and that is that this could become the best thing to happen to small business, because it gives us advantages of getting real with customers that big businesses don't have. What do you think?
Well, that's absolutely true. We, in A World Gone Social, we refer to social media as the great equalizer. It allows us to compete with the big boys. It no longer matters if you have the deepest pockets or the most employees or the most global offices. All that matters is, are we listening to our customers? Are we thinking before we react? And are we doing the right thing by them? And you can do that out of your garage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, And the thing is, one of the things that I talk about a lot on the show and have been for all these years now, and that I talk about in my new book, Mark, and that is that more and more customers are following what John Nesbitt told us 30-plus years ago. The more high-tech people have, the more high-touch they will want. And I believe in the 21st century, in the age of the customer, in a world gone social, I believe that means that they want more humanity. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head, Jim. The more we are listened to, the more we expect to be listened to, right? The more we engage with the brands that are building the products we're buying, the more we expect from them. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, especially for customers, the expectations have changed dramatically. It used to be, oh, we would just settle for being on hold for 45 minutes when we talked to the call center.
That's right.
And it was okay to, you know, we would tolerate, even on a chat line, we would tolerate canned copy and pasted responses. Now that's just not
good. Well, see, those were manipulations. In those days, that's all a whole manipulation regime. The truth is, Mark, that we humans became accustomed to and actually allowed to happen to us for probably close to 100 years. Almost the entire 20th century was about manipulation, wasn't it?
Well, here's what the industrial age did for us, Jim. It allowed us to be efficient. That's it. Everything else was actually a casualty, including humanity. We stopped talking. We stopped conversing, we stopped listening, and we stopped reacting to a potentially bad situation. Even the biggest and the best companies sometimes would go, look, we're never going to make that customer happy. What kind of damage can he do? Let's move along. Let's go replace him or
right.
her with 10 more customers. Mm-hmm. Right? We'll just go buy another ad on the Johnny Carson show, and we're going to be good here.
Well, here's another thing. They could actually say, where else are they going to go? Because you could look around the landscape in those days and say, okay, they've got two other options besides my company, and I know what they're all the other, what both of those other companies offer. So my deals, even though we may manipulate people, we may run roughshod over them, we may not give them as many choices, we're still a little bit better than those guys. So where else are they going to go? Now, people don't, you know, you go on Google, Amazon will give you 139 places to find something.
Well, and Jim, you know, the biggest differentiator there is often customer service.
Yeah.
I mean, look how big Amazon is. Now, Amazon is not exactly, I mean, with all the big data stuff they're doing,
yeah.
I'm not sure I'm a fan. But
yeah.
When I call Amazon, as big as they are, it takes me an average of about 7 seconds to get a real human being, and mm-hmm. the first thing they do is tell me their name first, their first
right.
name first.
Right.
Right? Mega corporation. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, look back at what just happened to, say, United Airlines when the air traffic control mm-hmm. explosion happened. Right? People were on hold with United Airlines for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And most of them just gave up. And in the old days, people would go, well, it's United, it's
right.
you know, the big airline, I don't have any choice. Well, now, those same people can go to JetBlue
yep.
and ask them a question on Twitter and get an answer in seconds. Or Virgin American, same thing, right? Same thing with our big banks that used to put us on hold forever
right.
and ever and ever.
And these are, as you said, and this is one of the foundational elements of my new book, these are their expectations. And this is why, and I know you're doing this too, is I keep telling business owners, you know what? It doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you have. None of that matters. What matters is, and it doesn't even matter what you think you know about what your customers want. If you don't know what their expectations are of you, you're going to become irrelevant. What do you think?
Well, Jim, you just described what we used to think of as leadership, though. Right? We were trained. Some of us older guys, we were trained, business school, mentors,
yep.
parents. We were trained to be autocratic, decisive,
mm-hmm.
and brazen, right? I mean, here's our product. We're going to tell you what you like about our product, and if you don't like it, we're just going to go find somebody else who does,
mm-hmm.
right? That's how leadership works.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's so different. We have to be a little empathetic. We have to be willing to listen. We have to put some of ourselves out there.
Give us a website, Mark.
AWorldGoneSocial.com.
Well, come back. You got stories to tell us, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
He's gonna share some of his some great stories that will help you understand more about how to go social. Not mad, but social. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. It's a parade,
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.